This book was all written by Queen Oriwal of Glome, who was the most wise, just, valiant, fortunate, and merciful of all the princes known in our parts of the world. If any stranger who intends the journey to Greece finds this book, let him take it to Greece with him, for that is what she seems mostly to have desired. The priest who comes after me has it in charge to give up the book to any stranger who will take an oath to bring it into Greece. Note. The story of Cupid and Psyche first occurs in one of the few surviving Latin novels, The Metamorphoses, sometimes called The Golden Ass, of Lucius Apuleius Platonicus, who was born about 125 AD. The relevant parts are as follows. A king and queen had three daughters, of whom the youngest was so beautiful that men worshipped her as a goddess and neglected the worship of Venus for her sake. One result was that Psyche, as the youngest was called, had no suitors. Men reverenced her supposed deity too much to aspire to her hand. When her father consulted the oracle of Apollo about her marriage, he received the answer, "Hope for no human son-in-law. You must expose Psyche on a mountain to be the prey of a dragon." This he obediently did. But Venus, jealous of Psyche's beauty, had already devised a different punishment for her. She had ordered her son Cupid to afflict the girl with an irresistible passion for the basest of men. Cupid set off to do so, but on seeing Psyche fell in love with her himself. As soon as she was left on the mountain, he therefore had her carried off by the west wind, Zephyrus, to a secret place where he had prepared a stately palace. Here he visited her by night and enjoyed her love, but he forbade her to see his face. Presently she begged that she might receive a visit from her two sisters. The god reluctantly consented and wafted them to her palace. Here they were royally feasted and expressed great delight at all the splendours they saw. But inwardly they were devoured with envy, for their husbands were not gods and their houses not so fine as hers. They therefore plotted to destroy her happiness. At their next visit, they persuaded her that her mysterious husband must really be a monstrous serpent. "You must take into your bedroom tonight," they said, "a lamp covered with a cloak and a sharp knife. When he sleeps, uncover the lamp, see the horror that is lying in your bed, and stab it to death." All this the gullible Psyche promised to do. When she uncovered the lamp and saw the sleeping god, she gazed on him with insatiable love, till a drop of hot oil from her lamp fell on his shoulder and woke him. Starting up, he spread his shining wings, rebuked her, and vanished from her sight. The two sisters did not long enjoy their malice, for Cupid took such measures as led both to their deaths. Psyche, meanwhile, wandered away, wretched and desolate, and attempted to drown herself in the first river she came to, but the god Pan frustrated her attempt and warned her never to repeat it. After many miseries, she fell into the hands of her bitterest enemy, Venus, who seized her for a slave, beat her, and set her what were meant to be impossible tasks. The first, that of sorting out seeds into separate heaps, she did by the help of some friendly ants. Next, she had to get a hank of golden wool from some man-killing sheep. A reed by a river bank whispered to her that this could be achieved by plucking the wool off the bushes. After that, she had to fetch a cup full of the water of the Styx, which could be reached only by climbing certain impracticable mountains. But an eagle met her, took the cup from her hand, and returned with it full of the water. Finally, she was sent down to the lower world to bring back to Venus, in a box, the beauty of Persephone, the queen of the dead. A mysterious voice told her how she could reach Persephone and yet return to our world. On the way, she would be asked for help by various people who seemed to deserve her pity, but she must refuse them all. And when Persephone gave her the box, full of beauty, she must on no account open the lid to look inside. Psyche obeyed all this, and returned to the upper world with the box. But then at last curiosity overcame her, and she looked into it. She immediately lost consciousness. Cupid now came to her again, but this time he forgave her. He interceded with Jupiter, who agreed to permit his marriage and make Psyche a goddess. Venus was reconciled, and they all lived happily ever after. The central alteration in my own version consists in making Psyche's palace invisible to normal mortal eyes. If making is not the wrong word for something which forced itself upon me, almost at my first reading of the story, as the way the thing must have been. This change, of course, brings with it a more ambivalent motive and a different character for my heroine, and finally modifies the whole quality of the tale. I felt quite free to go behind Apuleius, whom I supposed to have been its transmitter, not its inventor. Nothing was further from my aim than to recapture the peculiar quality of the Metamorphoses, that strange compound of picaresque novel, horror comic, mystagogue's tract, pornography, and stylistic experiment. Apuleius was, of course, a man of genius, but in relation to my work he is a source, not an influence nor a model. His version has been followed pretty closely by William Morris in The Earthly Paradise and by Robert Bridges, Eros and Psyche. Neither poem, in my opinion, shows its author at his best. The whole Metamorphoses was last translated by Mr. Robert Graves. C.S.L. This concludes the reading of Till We Have Faces by C.S. Lewis. This book was read by Nadia May.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.